Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. I trust the source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of 7th Night for Hallis. This is episode 269 of this podcast, man. You know where to follow us on social media at Barb Chair Scott, at Flo Zandolini, and at 79th and Hallis, man. Of course, follow the Barber's Chair and at Barber's Chair Co. on all social media platforms, man. And if you want to get anything exclusive, you need to subscribe to the Patreon, man. That is patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. The link will be in the description box if you're watching this or listening to this on the audio form. If you want to, you know, get straight to it, you can take your phone, scan the QR code. It'll take you right there for all the four different tiers. And if you subscribe to the 79th and Hallis tier or the $10 Barber's Chair Access tier, you get 25% off your first order on the Barber's Chair Network shop, and that is bcnetshop.com. We dropped the shirt, as you can see here. We got a little nice little Caleb Williams Game of Thrones inspired t-shirt, man. Go to the site right now and copy one, man. So we back. It's been a couple weeks, but we are back up in. I hope everybody enjoyed Joe's draft hot take draft special with him and the homie Steve.
I was right about Jackson Dart, which is hilarious in all of this. I was like, somebody's gonna like tweak out. And Jackson Dart is going to go in the first round. Lo and behold, they did tweak out. So, wasn't that hot of a draft. The only shocker, a pleasant shocker, is Will Campbell went where he should have always went. But it's an interesting thing with GMs and coaches. They can talk themselves out of a pick. Like, they can watch the tape. They can see them being credible. And they will say, well, his hands are too small. I'm like, who cares? What do they do with them? So, I want to toot my own horn.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else that you got right?
It was super hot takey, so I have no clue. But I do want to take this time before we dive deep into our rundown for the day and talk about something that recently happened in the world. For those of you who are, Scott's probably going to know what I'm talking about, maybe he's thrown off. For those of you who are Catholic, the Pope is an American now. And Pope Francis, the Holy Father, passed away some weeks ago. They had a conclave. Conclave is when they come. The cardinals come and they select a new pope. And so you have your first American pope, Robert Provost, who is born at Mercy Hospital, which is a Chicago hospital. Though he was raised in a suburb of Dalton, he attended a church on the south side, taught at St. Rita for a little bit. So I'm going to declare that he is a Chicagoan. And Chicago has our first pope. Before New York, and Scott, I don't know if you saw Spike Lee somehow making the Pope connected to New York. It was one of the most insane.
Well, yeah, because he graduated from Villanova.
He said the Knicks are global. I was like, what are you talking about? This has nothing to do with the Knicks or New York. But I digress. It's hilarious how, you know, in New York is a city it's the biggest city in the U.S. It's a very important city. But New Yorkers will find them ways to, you know, it could be this tiny of an inch and they're going to squeeze inside of there. So I just found that hilarious. But anyway, just for those of you listening, as a theology teacher at a Catholic school, I stopped class to talk about the conclave because all of my students, a good chunk of them are just, you know, come from Catholic families. And so I was like, oh man, the Pope got selected. And they just all dropped what they were doing and said, put it on. So I had to. I suspended my lecture. I put it on the projector, and we started watching the conclave. So that was pretty cool. Just thought I would spend a couple minutes talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, like all the Chicago movies are funny, but then I don't care that much.
The world of religion is not your go-to like it is for me. So I can understand that.
But it was funny that everybody thought he was a Cub fan, and come to find out he was a Sox fan.
Right, Cubs, that he is.
The Cubs still have that dumbass post up, which is hilarious. But, but you say you don't see this. Check your share notes, nigga. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. We've got the NFL draft to recap because we weren't able to do one. We had a lot of things going on. You know who all these niggas drafted. They just arrived today. In fact, Colston Loveland is one of the rookies who signed his rookie deal today. Won't be any couple month wait like it was last year for Caleb and Rome. So that's good. We got that knocked out. Rookie minicamp begins tomorrow, and we'll go through the weekend. I will be at Halas Hall for at least day one. So I'll have a little report for y'all. I'm gonna be doing video reports throughout this entire season. That I have me a little tripod, and I don't need Joe or Nikhil to shoot videos for me. I can shoot it myself. So I will have a rookie camp day one report up for y'all no later than Saturday morning. I'm hoping maybe I'll have it done tomorrow, depending on how done I hope I can get edited. But just kind of throw back, like, we want to go over the top guys that we got. Obviously, the Bears' first pick was tight end Colston Loveland from Joe's favorite college, Michigan. He went to number 10 to the Chicago Bears. Then you had Luther Burden in the second round, which is, to me, an absolute steal. He announced that he's going to be wearing 87. Very swaggerless number. Before we move on, I want your opinion on jersey retirements in football. Because we've been seeing a lot of people, now granted, the Bears don't retire jerseys anymore. Mike Ditka was the last retired jersey. But there was a whole little debate going on after Abdul Carter asked Lawrence Taylor for his number. Lawrence Taylor said, get out of my face. And then he asked Phil Simms for his number. Phil Simms said the same thing. Then you have somebody like his name is Warren Moon, who gave his number one to Cam Ward. So there's been a big debate. Because Luther Burden's going to be wearing 87. And I know there's a better number that he wants that's probably retired already. 87 is a very swaggerless number. What's your opinion on jersey retirements, at least with football?
That's a good thing. I have nothing to get my – it's not like the NBA where it's not as many players. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to formulate a point here is that I think it's a good thing. I can understand why it might be a little tricky when you're dealing with the fact that so many people go through the NFL, just a crap ton of people. And if you retire 12 in a team, that's a tough one. What happens if a team runs through in the next 100 years, five Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and you got 8, 10, 12, 13 taken like that? That really shrinks so many numbers that could be played. On an alternative to that, I believe that maybe jersey retirement should be more do like a federal government thing. The federal government, being the NFL itself, has to have a final say. So, and then when you retire a jersey, you make it final. Like, for instance, in the NBA, there are very few numbers. Like, I think the NBA should take a better approach to retiring jerseys, and maybe we don't retire that many overall. Maybe 23 is retired for Michael Jordan primarily, and then LeBron secondary. And then limit everything else to maybe a Magic, a Bird, if that. And so but that's the problem with teams. When teams have the ability to do that, they can limit a lot of numbers. That being said, I also understand a person whose number retired who doesn't want to give that up. If I'm Warren Moon, you can't have my number. Get your own number.
He gave it up, though.
I know. That's what I said. If I was Warren Moon, I would say, you can take my number. So,
I mean, I think the NBA is more stingy with it. I put it like this. I think for bigger teams, it's the issue. Because the Lakers have a lot of retired jerseys. The Celtics have a lot of retired jerseys. The Bulls don't have a lot of retired jerseys. Like, after Derek gets his next year, we have what? 5 retired jerseys? You got Bob Love. You got Jerry Sloan. You got Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and then now Derrick Rose. It's only 5 numbers, you know. But like for the bigger teams, it's an issue. But the NFL, I see people point. I have no problem with retirement jerseys. I feel like it's a dope way to honor your you know, your old players. But I think in the NFL, it's different than NBA because there's nothing hanging. You know, at least the jerseys are hanging in the arenas in the NBA. With the NFL, you're probably just fine with a Ring of Honor, something that the Bears do not have, which is still mind-blowing to me that the charter franchise doesn't have a Ring of Honor, which I'm hoping is one of the things that comes with the eventual move to Arlington Heights. And by the way, you found out this week that Kevin Warren is meeting with the new mayor of Arlington Heights to hammer down some, I call them final details, even though they haven't been told to be final details. To me, it feels like everything we're hearing, they're just zeroing in on this being a location. We're also hearing that they're talking to them about the Sox being one of the teams that plays in there, which is interesting. Yeah. So, I probably wasn't supposed to let that nugget block, and I got text that day. But anyway, it's out there now.
So we'll act like it was never said, and we'll just talk about the fact that, of course, this is a barbershare podcast, and so what happens, we'll get off topic briefly. One of them is, I do not understand Reinsdorf wanting to leave a perfectly fine stadium. You know what I'm saying? It's fine. Leave it like it is. You don't need anything else. You ain't going to get the money for it because, again, it ain't like the Sox are an ultra-popular team. Shout out to Pope for being a Sox fan. I'm so sorry that you are. We're going to suffer because this team is ass.
Yeah, I never understood. Well, I know why he wants to move because you got that whole terrible narrative that it's a bad neighborhood by where the Sox play. You know what's the only thing I'm worried about? You know, it's the only thing I'm worried about around what White Sox play, the cops.
Yeah,
and that's the thing I'm worried about in Bridgeport, nigga, the police.
Yeah, I never understood the belief that somehow that was a bad area. That ain't been a bad area in quite some time. It's perfectly fine. You will be straight. Your car, and if you're worried about, oh, my car could get broken too. Well, I'm here to tell you, nigga, it can get broken too anywhere in Chicago. White it don't matter if you're in Rogers Park or if you in freaking Marquette Park. It's getting fucking robbed if they want to.
Yeah, niggas is robbed. Yeah. Niggas is getting shot in the Gold Coast now. So it's like,
just what
if
it
you
is,
if you within Chicago city limits, bro, it can be up. But anyway, NFL draft recap. Like I said, Luther Burden went pick three. Went into the second round. My bad. But what I liked, what I didn't like about this draft. I'll start it off with this one, man. I still don't love the Colston Loveland pick. I understand why it happened. I don't hate it. And considering what was around, it kind of is what it is. I'm trusting Ben Johnson. I thought what caught me off guard, too, was I did think they would go Tyler Warren. So that was probably, like, my issue. Now, I know we have a lot of people who say Colston Loveland is a better tight end. You know, I didn't watch much Colston Loveland this year. I'm not going to sit up and lie to y'all. So people could be right about that. I don't know. I know that he's a more of a wide receiver type tight end. You know what I'm saying? Something that's a little different than Tyler Warren. And I feel like this is somebody who can fit in Ben Johnson's system perfectly. I really have an issue with the draft. Like, this is the first draft in the Ryan Poles era where I'm like, you know what? Front to back, I messed with it. I think the only unfortunate thing is we didn't get a running back that was highly valued. I know they drafted one like in the fourth or fifth round. Who knows? We'll see what he does. But I really wanted one of those Ohio State backs. And they went like a pick or two before the Bears were able to pick. And that was just something that was upsetting. But I thought it was a good draft. One thing you saw is Ben Johnson's influence. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just some random Ryan Poles, oh, I like this nigga because he drove a Chevy and he went to Boston College type pick. You know what I'm saying? It was thought of. There was planning that went into it. Luther Burden, there's some Bears fans out there who don't know how good this kid is. They got a first round talent in the second round. And when's the last time the Bears had a good slot receiver too? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't remember. This is going to be the guy who Ben Johnson's going to try to make his Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I feel that exactly what you need to go with a DJ Moore and a Roman Dunze. Everybody was wondering who's going to be number three. We know it ain't going to be Tyler Scott. And this was a perfect way. If you couldn't get one of those backs, I feel like this was the best replacement for it, too. You went offensive line. You got a 6'8 tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be, and it sounds like he's going to have a chance to start from what Ryan Poles was saying. Like, they'll talk about him just having starting left tackle. Like, he's going to have the opportunity because we all know that Braxton Jones, he's probably not going to be ready until like middle of training camp because of the surgery that he had. And there was a little talk about Darnell Wright moving to left tackle, but I'm glad they're keeping him at right and just move the Rook to left tackle if he does win a battle, which is fine with me. They address defensive line. I really think they did a pretty, pretty good job. I think draft grades are stupid because we don't really know how any of these players are going to pan out. But I do say I thought it was very good, and this is the first time in the Ryan Poles era where I didn't come out of the draft shaking my head. So what did you like about the draft? What didn't you like about the draft?
Well, one, I say I don't mind draft grades. Draft grades are perfectly fine because, again, you're just assessing the talent that was there in addition to was it the right selection at that time. And because of that, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's not a big deal. From your perspective, though, I can see how it's like, this is unimportant because it matters what they do on the field. Because I'm sure there are teams that have had terrible draft grades and then those draft picks turned out to be good. You know, what if somebody, it's like we're talking about the Niners. I forgot the quarterback's name who was picked Mr. Irrelevant. But in terms of picks, somebody probably could say this, whatever, it's not an important pick.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. And then you look up, Brock Purdy leads him to a Super Bowl. Does nothing with it, but he leads him there. And so because of that, I can see how draft grades are unimportant. That being said, I'm really impressed with the Bears draft this year because, again, the tackles you wanted were gone. The people you wanted, Armand Minbow and Will Campbell, gone. I don't think Kelvin Banks was gone yet either. But and then on top of that, you're thinking maybe if we look at the second round, we might be able to get ourselves some solid talent. But of course, you see that you weren't able to get that because so many of the top picks were gone and the picks that you wanted to get. So, yeah, I'm literally pulling up the NFL drafts and just seeing where it happened. You're looking, no, yeah, they were all gone. I had to remember correctly, but all of these picks were gone. Kelvin Banks went 9th. Armand Minbow went 7th. Will Campbell went 4th. That was it. So your best bet was then to go with a tight end. This is where my criticism comes in. My criticism would be, we know that Lovin wasn't the best tight end available. We do. Tyler Warren was a better tight end. We don't have to lie about it because we saw Tyler Warren.
And there's been a lot of people saying, oh, y'all didn't watch. He was clearly better than Tyler Warren.
No, this is cap. This is cap. What Tyler Warren did at Penn State is ridiculous. He was the offense. He was the guy. He was when Drew Aller says, oh, my God, I'm about to die. Please catch it, Tyler Warren. He did it. He's the only reason they stayed in so many of those playoff games. So that's just false. Now, that being said, if we're talking talent, Colston Lovin and Tyler Warren are equals. They can almost do the same exact things. Even body size, they're damn near the same players. Tyler Warren, 6'5", like 240. And Colston Lovin's like 6'6", 240. They're not far from me, or 250. They're not far from each other at all. But what I'm thinking is Colston Lovin's dealing with an injury. Tyler Warren had just come off a playoff run. Tyler Warren had like 1,400 yards, 100-plus receptions. Get Tyler Warren. It's a very easy pick. Now, I'm sure the concern with them, because if you want to play in the Ben Johnson system, you need a beefier tight end, and you need to block. But Tyler Warren is still a good blocker. They're all solid blockers. So that's a pick that I'm like, The only thing that brings me off the ledge, per se, is when I look at the fact that their talent and skill are near equal. They can do the same things. And to Colston Loveland's credit, he had played at a higher level in a primary target longer than Tyler Warren did. So Tyler Warren's last season is when he started to get the bulk of what you know as Tyler Warren's stats. And so I'm literally pulling it up just so I can double check. But Tyler Warren, his best year literally was his last year at Penn State, where he got like 1,200 yards, 104 receptions, just like a ridiculous amount. Whereas Colston Loveland, he had been a target for Michigan for quite some time. I mean, his first year, he was already getting 16 receptions. Tyler Warren didn't get over 16 until his fourth year. Not over 60 receptions to his fourth year. Remember, Tyler Warren stayed 5 years. Colston Loveland only stayed three. And Colston Loveland's second year, he was getting 45 receptions. The year after that, with a lesser quarterback, he's getting 56 receptions. And so, to his credit, Colston Loveland had been an integral part of his offense quicker and longer than Tyler Warren did. That being said, Tyler Warren came in with like 104 receptions, 1,200 yards, 8 or 9 TDs in that final year. It is nuts, and we don't have to act like it's not nuts. So my only issue with this is, one, is the health of Tyler Warren versus the health of Colston Loveland, and then the highest level play. But again, talent is very equal. I'm perfectly okay with it. Moving on to the next Bears picks, I think the Bears hit some home runs. Luther Burden is a player who literally could have won the first round. And as Scott said, when's the last time the Bears had themselves a true slot receiver? Been some time. So because of that, you're having three players who could legitimately be number ones. That's impressive. And you got two of them on rookie deals. The veteran is locked up on a contract. It is very, very beautiful. So if I were, I'm going to just say what my draft grade. For this draft, I'd give them an A-. For each pick, Colston Loveland would be a B. Luther Burden is an A+. Ozzie Tripillo for Boston College is a B. Shamar Turner is an A+. He was an A+. I thought that was a really, really, really solid pick. Everything else, I mean, I know Ruben Hoppelite, which is just solid. I won't even begin to act like I know the rest of these players at the end and start lying to you and say I've been looking at their tape. But based on the four picks that I know, I would give them an A-. Like, if I was grading, it's just a 92. Looks good. And I'm not of the ilk to say that I trust any of these coaches or Ben Johnson or Ryan Poles. I do not. But I'm also at the point where I'm like, let's see what they can do. I'm going to be a fair critic and say I'm impressed so far. Let's keep up the momentum.
And that goes to our next topic about the running back number two situation. Now, first of all, I got to say, I think both of us are DeAndre Swift apologists. I think that DeAndre Swift got too much shit last year. I think for the terrible offensive system he was in, for the offensive line that was protecting him or trying to open up holes for him, he did fantastic. I think almost 800 yards rushing or something like that last year, a couple touchdowns. He did a solid job. And I think way too many people are just too eager to replace DeAndre Swift. He's going to be here, and I'm excited he's here. But they need to get the second running back. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Bears bringing in a possible vet. We heard one of the Cleveland Browns radio announcers. He basically said that Nick Chubb is on his way to an NFC North team. Now, he didn't say which NFC North team it would be, but considering the running back situations of all the other teams in the North, it kind of just makes sense for it to be the Bears. Exactly. Shane's a surprise. He survived the season. But to me, that could be a potential team right there. You got J.K. Dobbins over there in Los Angeles. A lot of fans want the Bears to trade for Breece Hall. You know, there's different option here. But we've also heard from Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles in their post-draft press conferences that they're not done with a Roschon Johnson. And I thought that Poles said something pretty interesting when he said that, yeah, he was used wrong. He took a Mack truck and ran over Eberflus with that comment. And I do think parts where he was used wrong, but he also runs like he got cement in his boot, which is my biggest issue with Roschon. Now, they drafted running back for Rutgers, Kyle Monagai. I know nothing about this kid, so I'm not even going to sit here and act like I know. You know, some niggas, they watch a couple highlights, they tell you, oh, well, this guy's got excellent da-da-da-da-da. I don't know nothing. I didn't watch a Rutgers game last year. That was not on my college football to-watch list. So I don't know. But I do believe that he will have a chance. And I don't believe that they're going to reach out into a veteran until the last minute. I wouldn't trade an asset for Breece Hall. Trading an asset for a running back is kind of crazy for me. And we still haven't had any indications that the Jets want to get rid of him, even though Breece Hall wants to go. Nick Chubb is cool if you can promise me he stays healthy, but he just broke his foot on top of 100 other injuries the man got. So that one I'm kind of cool with too. To me, the only one I'll probably be the most happy with, I like J.K. Dobbins with the Chargers, But I really think they're going to let this play out a little bit. If they do sign a vet, I think that's going to be something we see mid-camp after we get a couple practices under their belt and we see exactly what this running back situation is going to look like. What's your take on the Bears running back number two situation?
Yeah, I want to act like it's not an issue. Roschon Johnson is literally just a goal line, put your head down, get a CTE touchdown. I'm not sure if he's the back besides that. I think D. Swift is fine. I think D. Swift is – he was hated on far too much. Like, yes, I would have loved Travion or Quinshon Judkins. As a fan of the Ohio State Buckeyes my entire life, yes, those guys were absolute killers. And I'm almost for certain if they were available, Poles is getting one of them. But because they were gone – and you had to get yourself somebody immediate, also knowing that you got a pick coming afterwards, Luther Burden was a great choice. So if when we're looking at the running back too, a second running back is very important in today's NFL. Teams, at least if they're following a Detroit model, like to have that second running back who can come in there and give the first one some rest, but also is just as dangerous as the first one. Can people relax on the cold loving versus cold talk? So – yeah, and so I think the running back situation
just at me, dog. That was my reel today.
But in terms of in terms of that comment, just to talk about, you know, talking about Cole over Lovin, yeah, I understand that logic. The logic is how can you compare him to an NFL player when he hasn't played a down? Absolutely, I get what you're saying. The issue is that we're not saying. We do it all the time. You compare a college player to an NFL player all the time. GMs and coaches do it. That's why, like, we can't use that logic on someone like Will Levis. So who did the Titans just pick up, Scott? Who did the Titans just pick up at QB?
Cam Ward.
Right. Would we compare Cam Ward to Will Levis? We say, hell yeah. We say Will Levis sucks ass. Cam Ward has the potential to be better. That's what I'm saying about Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is a solid tight end. He's just not going to give you much yak. And so because of that, we want someone who can at least block as well as him, but also get yak, also take defenders one-on-one, especially if it's not a linebacker. And so it's not that Colson Lovin is better right now. It's that he has his potential is higher because we already know where Cole Kmet's potential and his ceiling is, and he's on it already. So that's the argument. So going back to, Sonic and Knuckles.
Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
I want to defend my Cole take. What I was saying was I wasn't saying that he's going to be gone this year because one of my homies text me too. Y'all trying to get him out of here. Now, I ain't trying to get Cole out of here. I'm just saying that if Loveland has a great season and with the age that Cole is, even though he's not old, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't surprise me if it's a year from now, the niggas out of the team. Like, this is a massive year. Colson
Lovin also signed his contract, by the way.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning of the show.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to you.
This guy. If Cole, this is a big year for Cole. If he don't have a good year this year, it's 100% on the table, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that's crazy enough to say that. And like Mikey says here in the chat, the Bears upgraded to a better white boy TD. He'll be a fan favorite by week six. Exactly.
The White Sox are hilarious. They put well. He's a Sox fan.
That's the only win they're going to get this year. But yeah, that's what I feel about that's what I feel about the Cole Lovin situation. So I love Cole, man. I think he's cool. Every time I run to Cole, he's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. And like I said on the show, I don't think he's a bad tight end. I think Cole Kmet is a fine tight end. He's not a 40-degree day. He's a 50-degree day. But Loveland might be a 75-degree day. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll see. Orlando said, I don't believe that Jerry propaganda. You have to believe it. The nigga brother said it.
This is his own brother.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Leo's brother, who was like, he literally sat there and said, he was never a Cubs fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry the Holy Father chose the South side, also the side he's from. So if you look at it from an objective lens, God
if
has
you look
chosen
at it, South side is what did that country singer say when he left Saturday Night Live? Back to God's
country. Back to God's country.
The South Side is God's country.
If you look at it, the Holy Father is from the South Side. So by theological exposition, we can say that God prefers the South Side. I don't know. Hey, I'm just saying. Anyway.
George, finish your take.
So yeah, when it comes to running back to, you know, going back to, yeah, Sonic and Knuckles, I mean, what happened when Debo went down? You had a second string running back who is better. Who is better than Mikey. I know some of these words. Mikey, I'm on a personal note, I'm not looking at the lay until like 10 p.m. I'm not looking at a thing. So I'm hoping we're going to get this money. Anyway, I'm sorry, Orla. I'm sorry that the Holy Father himself doesn't want to look at the Cubs. But, yeah, the running back two situation, when Debo went down, you had the better running back to me is Jameer, but that's fine. 11-2. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to look until 11. That being said, Jameer gives a better running back. But him at number two, what happens? He come in, he can do it himself. So if Nick Chubb were to come and he does not have to be, if Nick Chubb were to come, hey, yo, strike that from the record.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was insane.
Wow. Hey, yo, if Nick Chubb were to arrive here.
Yeah.
I think he would only have to do, he would have to do half his original job. He's a backup, but he'd be a damn good backup. So I'm all for it. That was wild. I'm sorry. I went AO, but I think that's ultimately good. So, because without it, then you start asking questions, because I do not think Roshan, again, maybe he just needs to find himself a system that works, or maybe Flus's system did not allow him to flourish like he wanted to. But as of right now, I'm not as confident.
All right. Let's go on to Ben Johnson, our head coach. Let's answer this. So y'all prefer Chubb. If Chubb's healthy, I like him over Dobbins, but I don't think he's healthy. The nigga broke his foot. So I would rather take Dobbins. Orlando says Paulie from Soprano Brothers won the priest vote. Yeah, I saw that. That's what you call a fun fact. That's what you call a fun fact. So one of the people who Paulie from Soprano's brother was one of the people who voted him to be the Pope.
I love about the Catholic Church is just how it's just a whole bunch of regular random ass people intertwined. And you're like, he was a priest? He was, huh? So like there was apparently a school where Pope Leo served at or something, and they did like a Pope conclave day and the kids dressed up. And I'm like, I didn't even know he was in Chicago like that. Because he was in Peru for so long. Shout out to my Peruvians. You got yourself a Peruvian priest as well. He's a naturalized citizen of Peru. Orla said, Roshan needs to flourish in Ottawa. But yeah, so very interesting situation. I will say you can survive without a number two for a few weeks. But it's when you get to them last couple weeks of the season where you're like, I need a good number two. And so make a move now, maybe, or if it's Kareem Hunt, but if it's Nick Chubb, then I think they're in a very good position. Then it's almost like it's to a point where you're looking at there are so many strengths as opposed to there are so many holes. You get Nick Chubb, you have a completely great skill player set from tight end to wide receiver to running back. Your offensive line, I mean, four out of those five positions could start in so many other NFL teams, so you're good there. The only real holes you start looking at it is defensively, you know, how would they settle with their interior presence? Though I will say exterior, I have a little bit more hope in just because I think Shamar Turner and I forgot his name, who was just signed, who was signed a while back. But I think there'll be some really solid pickups. But Shamar Turner is my slept on pick. I think he will be a lot better than what people think he is. He has great size. Pause. God. He has great size. I am just tripping.
Hey, can we say, I know Mikey's watching. Hey, Mikey, Warren Sharp blocked me because I said that the NFL release schedule next week was stupid. I didn't say nothing about him. Look at this idiot. Anyway.
You don't have the update where you can still see their tweets?
I can, but that's not the point. Anyway, the point is, I didn't say nothing to him. All I said He put a release schedule to, they're going to be announcing the schedule on three different days next week. And all I said, I quote, this is extra for no damn reason, just announced all at once. And I've been blocked.
But you know, this isn't he one of them aggregate pages?
No, this is a real dude.
Oh. Anyway, we need Mikey. Hey, Mikey, my nigga forever. I done got some bread.
We need
with
Mikey parlays back. Yeah, I mean, Mikey got to come out of retirement and get back on the show. But
Shamar Turner is my slept on pick, and I think offensively, you get Nick Chubb, you almost sew up any hole that you can think of outside of blind side tackle, which is a very big position. I think the running back two position, there needs to be a conversation. If Nick Chubb is the guy, I think you're pretty solid. We are getting, I know the real reason. Hey, relax. Relax, relax yourself. I don't want to hear anything. You keep that to yourself. Can't tell that nigga nothing. Hey, hold on. You know I got dirt on you too, doggy. You remember the chat we done had? I don't want to hear nothing. Let's expose each other.
All right, can I move on now?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ben Johnson, man. Ben Johnson, who it was kind of weird seeing him in his Bears coaching fit. Like, when they put the pictures in the video, I'm like, damn, this nigga really our coach. Like, that's when it, like, really hit. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, he is having, he said, whoa, whoa, brother. that's crazy. You might want to not talk anymore, brother. I got the receipts. Like I was saying about Ben Johnson, he had his press conference, and you know, I think Ben Johnson is a very fiery coach, is what we're starting to learn about Ben. It didn't look like he said much when he was Detroit, but this nigga give me psycho vibes. Like, he giving me John Gruden vibes. Let me clarify about what I mean by John Gruden. Now that I have to clarify that, I mean by football standards, not by anything else. Like, you know how he gets excited for football and stuff? Like, when he didn't know, when Jackson Dart didn't know what a silent count was, like that type of thing. So he's just been super hyped. And he said, like, look, there ain't no depth chart. He said, I want to see what some of y'all are going to do without the ball. You know what I'm saying? And you're starting to see a culture be developed here where I'm really, really excited to see what training camp's going to be like. Now, we're not going to see much tomorrow with rookie camp because I think the only access we have tomorrow is like regular season access, which is basically we get to see them stretch, take pictures, take videos, and then we talk to them afterwards. We don't actually get to watch the actual practice. But during mini camp next month, and for training camp, I want to see what it's going to be like. Because me and Joe said this on this pod, the influence practices were like Pop Warner. So I want to see what it's going to be like. But it feels like we're slowly starting to see what kind of team that Ben Johnson is trying to build and like what it's going to be like. To me, he looks like he's putting every player on the same level. And he's even saying that about Caleb. He's like, look, I want to see what Caleb had with it. Now, I am very happy to hear that Caleb has been reading the playbook for the last couple months, which is good. And we see our quarterback has been enjoying his free time. Did you see the video of him in Miami with who's the other dude who be on the Bears? John Jackson.
And he was not assist in sight.
I mean, he's an NFL player. NFL niggas love white women. There's a theory for that. They go to these top colleges with them scholarships. Well, it's not a lot of black people. That's usually where it comes down to.
I had a very spirited argument with my fam, my best friends. I was talking to my best friend, Tony, Lenore, and Taylor, who is like assisting me. It's also Tony's wife. We were wondering, like, why is it that, and it's not only in NFL, but it's just prominent in NFL. At least in the NBA, you'll see there, you know, black players will have black wives. And again, you can, you know, love who you want to love, be who you want to be, in the words of Ray J. Yeah. But you're more likely to see, it's more likely to see the NBA where a black player bears a black wife. And in the NBA, it's almost like, in NFL, it's like a hell no. It's like, nope, white. And my thought was, well, these are the programs they get into. And then I know a few of their counters were like, well, they go to these same colleges. I'm like, yes. However, NBA will attract a much more – basketball will attract a much more diverse audience than the football will on campus. The football on campus will still be a very specific specific ethnicity. It will be white. And so that's what happens. But, yeah, you're true. You're right.
Yeah, so basically we're seeing a culture being built here. What do you think about what Ben Johnson – his better than – obviously, nothing's been on the field yet. And we'll be, like you said on this podcast, we ain't giving nobody nothing until we see it on the field. I even told y'all myself, we are not doing a record prediction show. Y'all can throw that away. It's not happening. Because if you watch our record, the I'm Not Gonna Hold You record prediction show, should be a freezing cold takes Hall of Fame. We are not doing that. I'm trying not to get excited until December. I came the last time we played meaningful football in December. But what's your thought on just how Ben Johnson has carried everything in his 4 months now as head coach?
In the words of Stephen A. Smith, we don't care. I have covered the Chicago Bears through four coaches now. Three, sorry. Matt Nagy, Eberflus. Actually, no, four. Matt Nagy, Eberflus, the brother whose name I can't remember, and now Ben Johnson. So that's four NFL coaches. I have been impressed by two of them when it came to just like the approach to the game, the fieriness. Because say what you want to say about Nagy, he could fire a motherfucker up very easily.
Well, it's his first year. After a while, them words started sounding terrible.
Thomas Brown, that was it. Matt Nagy that was my first year in his, the first game I covered and interviewed him, the first game I covered where they won, it seemed like he was like, yeah, we got ourselves a formula. I'm like, okay. And I learned my lesson after that. And so I don't give a shit how you sound. Ben Johnson could sound fired up and it won't mean jack shit. My biggest thing is, how does his relationships with the players look? Me and Scott, when we cover the team, we see the background. And so we just see how players interact with each other. We see how they get along, how the locker room looks. We see when the coach comes out of the locker room, what is the morale like? I want to see what that is, because I don't give a shit about anything else about that. Because you can also – but and it's crazy because – that being said, a counter to my own point is you can have the locker room and suck. Like, people think that, oh, when you suck, you lose the locker room. Not all the time. Lovie Smith was fucking beloved by his players. Absolutely beloved. Like, and I think that goes to show just the type of human being he is, that he is well loved and respected. But he was floundering towards the end of his coaching career, and he was not adapting to the modern NFL game, which is why all of his tenures since then have not been great. So you can have all that too. So I guess at the end of the day, all that really matters is your record. So primarily, I'm concerned about his record. Secondarily, I want to see how he interacts with the players. And then tertiary, I would say, yeah, let's see if he's fiery. So it's not as important to me as the record. You can have all that, but what are you going to do? How is the offense going to look? I don't want to see any more installs. Like, I don't want seasons of installs. That install needed to be as soon as he was called coach, which it was, and continue that. But I do like the fact that it's like I'm looking at everybody now. There is no depth chart. Nigga, I'm the depth chart. I will decide who plays, because that means we're going to get ourselves a nice look at who the team is, who should stay. But going back to, before I forget, when it comes to the draft picks, I do think the Bears' first five rounds all have a legitimate chance to get themselves some tick. Especially with the Jack Sanborn is gone now, especially with the, you have Dennis Allen in the actual system with your linebackers. Reuben Hoppolite, Hoppolite is like a Grecian last name? He might see himself some tick one day. Who knows? I mean, he's a super fast linebacker. The dude runs like a 4.4. And so you never know if he might get himself some depth at linebacker. He might also get on special teams. And he also had a pretty solid ending year at Maryland. And then even Zach Frazier, I doubt he gets a lot of tick on defense. He may get one here and there, but he'll also have special teams depth. Where is, was it Luke Newman and then like Kyle Mangini or something? I doubt that they play. Though, we'll see. I mean, the Bears picked up one running back, or it's just one running back. So we'll see. Who knows? But as of right now, going back to my point, I think there's a good chance for a lot of them to see some playing time this year, as opposed to just being buried on the depth chart.
I'll say this, though. There's a thin line between having – I'm not saying anybody in the locker room got to get along with each other. Like, I'm not saying that. Sports don't matter. Kobe and Shaq wanted to kill each other, and they went to four NBA finals and won three of them. You know what I'm saying? We just found out today. I just found out last week that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen have never had dinner together, according to Craig Hodges, who was on All the Smoke.
Wow.
And
I thought them niggas was like freaking best friends when I was a kid.
That's what I thought. I thought them was they mans. Like, you remember 2011 when the Bulls were heading to the East Coast Finals and they both sat down courtside to watch game together? Like, so, you know, and Craig Hodges said Scotty might be lying. He said he never seen them have lunch, because there was a video they played that asked them. He said, you know, when the last time you talked, he said, y'all ever had dinner together? Scotty was like, nigga, no. And then the reporter was like, Scotty, come on. You never had dinner with Michael Jordan one-on-one. He said, not one time in my career. And then they played that for Craig Hodges, and Craig Hodges was like, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say Scotty lying. I didn't see him have dinner together. You know, Shaq and Kobe called Jim Gray and told Jim Gray to tell Shaq, I'm going to beat Kobe up. I'm going to beat Shaq up. Joe, you have to leave for a second. I'm going to hold this down while Joe's gone. But anyway, basically, Kobe said, I'm going to beat Shaq up, which he didn't. But my point is this. There's a thin line between having a great locker room and having a locker room that, you know, is just, you know, at odds or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, to what Joe's point is, he doesn't kill the locker room. It's like, I do think it's important. It's not something that's over the top important, but I do think there should at least be some type of culture. There should be some type of rules. There should be something set. If you look at all the top teams that have won championships in any sport, you can pick any sport, there is a standard of excellence that is accepted. You know, you have the Patriot way, which, in my opinion, the Patriot way was just Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, mainly Tom Brady, but there were rules or ways that they did stuff. That's why I feel Ben Johnson needs to build, and what I feel like he's trying to build, and something that we won't know, because none of your culture or your rules, anything mean anything if you're not winning football games. So they do need to see that. While we wait for Joe to come back, he had to use the bathroom. So, yeah, he'll be right back. But I want to talk about Caleb Williams. What's it called? His name? Caleb Johnson. Caleb Williams and pressure that's coming to the season. Last year, he had a lot of pressure in general because he was a very, very hyped number one draft pick heading to a very quarterback-starved city. And I thought, for considering the circumstances, considering the worst coaching I've ever seen in my 30 years as a Bears fan, I think he did all right. This year's a different kind of pressure. It's year two. The guy who got drafted after you had an incredible season and was one half away from taking his team to the Super Bowl. And now you've got the coach that you wanted. Now you got the coach that the fans have wanted for the last 2 years. You've got the offensive weapons. You know what I'm saying? You've got the offensive line now. You got everything you need. You got a competent coaching staff, not just Ben Johnson. You got a competent coaching staff that's going to try to get the best out of you. And I feel like there's going to be a little pressure that's going to come around with this. And that's something that I feel like we're going to be looking at all this year, is the pressure that Caleb Williams is going to be facing. And my question to you, Joe, I don't know if you heard all the questions. My question was, how much pressure, in your opinion, is Caleb Williams facing coming into this year, granted that he's gotten everything that was on his wish list in this offseason?
Oh, tremendous amounts of pressure. Like, I can't think of a quarterback in recent memory, outside of himself last year, that will have as much pressure. It wouldn't be Justin Fields, because, again, Justin Fields played with freaking not the same caliber of talent as Caleb will. So it was a struggle. Justin Fields first last year, of course, he did have DJ, but it was just different. And then when I go every quarterback since then, I do not see the same amount of pressure. Maybe Mitch's second year, it's like, no, second year, third year, after they had the playoff run, playoff game. And you're wondering, oh, they were a missed field goal away from going to the divisional. It was divisional, right? Or was that the wild card? Were they in the wild card and then the division? Was that the divisional then?
Are you talking about the double doink?
Yeah.
That was the wild card game.
So they were a double doink away from going to the divisional game. A doink, not a double doink. Going to the divisional game. And so you're thinking, man, maybe will Mitch make that second step, which will then help the defense and all of those things. So maybe Mitch. But that being said, Mitch, while I think he did have a solid receiving core, certainly wasn't bad. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller. I forgot the dude who was from the Falcons who was hella quick. And he had a good running back core.
Taylor Gabriel.
Man, that team had some really some spurts. But I don't think it's the same as Caleb, who, especially get Nick Chubb, there is killers on every single skill position slot. We're talking about three wide receivers who could arguably be number one or number two on every team. DJ obviously could be, and I think Rome could be as well, and Luther, his talent could be. So when you add that up, and then you have a revamped offensive line, he does have a lot of pressure. I don't know if the pressure is wins, though. Whereas Mitch, I think it was wins. With him, it's you got, what, 3,200 yards last year. How many touchdowns did he finish with, 20?
Caleb.
20. So now the pressure will be you need like 3,800. Some people are like 4,000. I'm like, I would say 38 because I'm thinking of a realistic jump. You're going to have a coach who does still love to run. We'll go 38. So pressure's on him. And I can't remember a quarterback who had as much pressure. Maybe Rex Grossman the year after the Super Bowl, will he not fuck up and lose them a game? But Caleb has a substantial amount of pressure on him. And he should like that. He should like the fact that you have pressure because you only have a substantial amount of pressure when you're good. Oh, yeah, 3,500 yards last year. Nah, I'm gonna need 4,000.
You originally said you needed 38,000.
Right, because I thought he had 3,200 yards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, for me.
I'm gonna need four.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that four. I'm gonna need that four. And to me, that's being nice. like honestly. Boy, like, nigga, it was bad last year. Like, I don't like I'm going to keep saying this. Look, this was not a 5-win roster. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not saying that team, as constructed, should have meant to make the playoffs. That was not a 5-win roster. That coaching was so bad. I didn't think it'd get worse than Trestman. But even Trestman in 2012 did what he was hired to do. Score points. The offense was good the 2 years he was there. Locker room was terrible. The defense was terrible. Like, you had like, Brandon Marshall drove in to fight Jay Cutler. Like, that's how bad the locker room is. You had Marcellus Bennett tell him, Brandon Marshall, hey, Brandon, six-time Pro Bowlers get knocked out, too. Like, it was nasty. But what we saw last season was a different level of incompetence. When we found out that DJ Moore, others were saying they knew this wasn't going to work out in May, Like, what are we doing? Like, that's what I'm saying, just off the coaching alone. And I don't know if Ben Johnson is going to be a great coach. I have no idea. There's a big difference between calling plays and being a head coach. There's a lot of things that come with that. But I do believe just what I've seen off him for the last couple of years, that Caleb should be able to get 4,000 yards if he's healthy.
I'm not even thinking about health. So I had to double check because – at least as far as I remembered, I'm like, only six quarterbacks got 4,000 yards last year. I was correct. So out of the 32 NFL starting quarterbacks, and obviously you have some extras because players are injured, Joe Burrow had the highest, 4,900 yards. Also, time in NFL history, we had like 4,000 or 5,000 yard passes. But Joe Burrow, 49, Jared Goff, 46, Baker Mayfield, 45, Geno, 43, Darnold, 43, Lamar, 41. Everyone else, including the MVP, had under that. And Josh Allen got this when they were dedicated to the run a lot this year. Patrick Mahomes had under, Justin Herbert had under four, Aaron Rodgers did, CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels. So I don't know if I'm hung up on 4,000. I think we speak of 4,000 as when we were going through that super boom of completely passing
on. I'm more hung up on touchdowns than I am 4,000.
Yeah. We're going through, you know, we're going through simply passing only. That boom, what would you say the passing boom was, Scott? Remember when the passing boom began? No, like at its peak, when we had like 4,000 or 5,000 yard passers. Remember that?
It was one season?
Like Matthew Stafford, Drew Brees.
This happened in one season?
Yeah. So I have to go back and check.
I have no idea.
Drew Brees stats, because it's the only one. So Drew Brees had 5,000 and 2,000. Wow, Jesus. Several times. Four times. But I want to say either 2012 or 2008 was when we had that boom in passing yards. Like we had, if players went at 5,000, we had a shit ton who were near it. So wasn't 2012? 2012, you saw four people with 4,900 yards or better. Drew Brees had 5,100 yards. But there was a time when we had 2008. I will figure this out. I want to maybe not four, maybe like three, but I'll figure this out.
Well, I think the point I'm trying. Yeah, I'm not hung. I'm not hung up on yards because we had 3,500 with this trash. He's gonna have more next year if he's healthy. I need more touchdowns. Like I know how many people have. How many quarterbacks had 30 touchdowns passing last year? I don't know if I'm gonna be reckless. I don't feel like it was a lot last year.
No. So we're looking. At the test last year, 30 touchdowns, only five QBs. Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson doing what he did, I don't know how he didn't win MVP. I don't give a shit. This is ridiculous stats.
We're not going to go over this for 100 times. I think 25 touchdowns is I think that's
2011. I fucking found it. 2011 is when we had 3 5,000 yard passers. Apparently, this is one of the most prolific passing years, but it was Drew Brees, 45, Tom Brady, 52, Matt Stafford, 5,000. So we're not – I think fans are starting to think that we're at that level with the NFL. That was the time when, I mean, man, even the 4,000-yard passes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 4,000-plus-yard passers, Ryan Fitzpatrick right behind with 39, that's a boom. And then your top three are throwing 5,000. That's not going to happen. I mean, anymore. Well, at least not in the current NFL the way it is set up. Even when we're looking at, like, touchdown leaders, they had – it was still five. It was still only five QBs with 30 touchdowns. So 5,000 yards, 4,000 yards seems to be much more frequent than a 30-yard, 30-touchdown leader. So 30 is still a high margin to get, which is why I'm not going to put him at 30. But I'll put him at 27.
I think 25 is the floor.
Okay.
Extra five touchdowns. Because I think it's going to be – Ben Johnson loves running football. That's why I really feel like they got to knock that second running back situation out. Practicing patience, which is something that Bears fans do not like to do. Where do you think the patience level should be for this offense hitting on all cylinders? Because it's new offense. It's going to take a minute. It's a new coach with a new team. First time the head coach is a head coach. You know, NFL don't really care about preseason. The first month of the season is really the NFL's preseason, if you want to be real about it. For me, I'm giving them a week 8. I need to be rolling by around Halloween. By around Halloween, I need to be rolling. For me, like, and I saw somebody said, I'm not going to hold you on the chat on the Monday show. They said they need Mina Kimes to be praising our offense by week 10. What week do you need the offense to be rolling on all cylinders? And do you think the Bears fans will practice patience?
No, Bears fans are not going to practice patience. No. I know who they are. It's that meme with the dog is like, I know what you are. They're never going to do that. That being said, I am going to give them until week 5. Because, yes, you're installing a new offense, but you're full of professionals, you know? Outside of Caleb Williams and Romo Odunze, we have players who have they have players that have been in the league 3, 4-plus years. Everybody should know how to adjust and have seen either multiple coordinators or multiple head coaches. Everybody should know how to lock in and get the job done. So, yeah, I'm not giving them a lot of leeway By week five, I need to see some sort of familiarity with the offense, muscle memory, which again means installing now. Installing now.
Yeah, I said week four, but I'm not mad at week five. Last thing we can go over. So next week, the NFL schedule will be dropping, and I saved the picture before Warren Sharp blocked me like a hoe. We've got on Monday, all the NBC games will be announced on Monday. Now, this is the official drop. We don't know if the whole thing is going to leak. I'm pretty sure that beat writers are going to start leaking games ahead of time. But these are the official drop date. So Monday on the Today Show, all the NBC Sunday Night Football games are going to be announced. On the same day, later on in the day, all the Fox games will be announced. In the evening of the 12th, all the Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football games will be announced. On Tuesday, May 13th, huh?
That's a lot.
That's my point. It's a very dumb rollout. On Tuesday, on Good Morning America, all the Monday Night Football games are going to be announced. On Wednesday, the 14th, all the CBS games are going to be announced. And then on at night on Wednesday, all the Netflix games are going to be announced. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern time on NFL Network, the entire team schedules are going to be announced. So, it's a very stupid rollout. Very dumb rollout.
I feel like Roger Goodell just knows that we are addicts in the sense that we will take whatever is given to us. Oh, okay, I guess we'll do that then. But we should probably say, this is fucking stupid. What are we doing?
It's very stupid. And that's why I was trying to tell Mr. Warren Sharp before he blocked me. Basically what I want to ask you is two questions. One, how many primetime games do the Bears have? They had five last year. And who will be their week one opponent? I just want to say I am praying to the football gods, the old and the new, that we are not opening up in Philadelphia on ring night. I want no parts. You better take Jaden Daniels and his mama who won't leave his side and send them niggas back to Philadelphia. Leave me alone and give me Dallas on Fox at noon. Okay? That's what I want.
I'm terrified of the Eagles because, I mean, they played a great first half and a shitty second half and somehow still won one in dominant fashion. That's horrifying. They played that first half as complete as they played. The second half as complete as they played that first half. They might have beaten the Chiefs by 50. That's a problem. And then they're going to get their rings? No, I don't. Please. It's going to be a Godfather moment where Vito looks over the casket of Sonny and goes, look how they massacred my boy. I don't want to see that. I do not want to see that. That being said, I'm assuming the Bears will probably have five primetime games again, maybe six. I don't think the Bears draft had warrants the hype where if you're Goodell and you're his the schedule managers to think that, oh, because again, the schedule is always going to be based on matchups and hype. You know what I mean? Matchups and hype. The Bears probably got those five games last year because of Caleb and because of, well, they won seven games last year. Maybe Caleb is the missing piece. They'll have to deal with the fact that they sucked ass last year, but they did get the best coordinator and they did have a solid draft. So because of that, realistically, I'll probably say one extra game, if not just regular, the same as last year.
I think they're getting six. I think they're going to milk the hell the Ben Johnson thing, and like me and Mike were talking about today, they gave Caleb a pass, letting him start off against Tennessee Titans last year. It's not going to happen again. They've got a lot of big matchups. You know, since the Bears actually beat the Packers this year, people are going to care more about that again. All the division matchups. Ben Johnson's return to Detroit, Sunday Night Football, nigga. You might as well just open your schedule for that. They got some big away games. We go to Cincinnati. We go to Philadelphia. Washington is 100% going to be primetime.
Oh, absolutely.
After that Hail Mary last year, 100%.
It's going to be that same narrative. The number two who should have been the number one will the number one bounce back, for sure.
Exactly. And going to Baltimore, yeah, that's going to – I'm going to say six. I think we have more than last year. I'm not going to go all eight. No, that's reserved for the Chiefs the Eagles. Once you get eight, you like Super Bowl tier. I think the Bears are going to get six. I think it's going to be two Thursday night football games. I think we're going to see – it's going to be two of each. Two Thursday night football games, two Monday night football games, and two Sunday night football games. But my opening day prediction, I want to be wrong. I really, really want to be wrong. I think it's going to be one of these two. I think they're going to send us to Philadelphia for Thursday, or – and this one I would prefer. I think they're going to send us to Detroit for the Ben Johnson reunion for one of those two. That's why I think it's going to be a road game week one. I would prefer it not be a road game, but give me Dallas or no. Any predictions on what you think the first game would be?
Let's go. They're playing Dallas.
Do you want me to name the home and away opponents?
Yeah.
So, of course, you already know the division home game, so I ain't got to name that. But at home, they play the Giants, the Browns, the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Saints. None of those are going to be primetime. But on away games, of course, the four division opponents, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Niners, the Raiders, and the Ravens.
I don't know. I legit have no clue. I'm going to go with your pick.
Okay, quick. Another question here. Home or road week one? That's a better one.
Road.
Road?
Road.
Road. Yeah, we started at home the last two seasons. So
started at home, nigga.
I don't care, nigga. I do not care. But that's all we got for y'all today. Is there anything else you want to go over? I will be dropping a rookie mini camp recap video, because this doesn't warrant a podcast. I'm sorry. There's a lot of creators out there who be dropping podcasts about randoms. I'm just not doing it. So
rookie minicamp is one of the most unimportant things in the history of the NFL.
I'm just going day one because, you know, Ben Johnson access. We actually get to see the rookies suit up. I will not be there this weekend. I will not be sitting up there talking to Declan Doyle on Saturday. This is not gonna happen, but I will be there for that, so look out for that video. You can follow us on all social media platforms at Barb Chair Scott, at Flo Zandolini. Follow the pod at 79th and Hallis, at 79th and A&D Hallis on all social, on Twitter. We're only on one social media platform. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. Subscribe to the Patreon, man. Patreon.com/ Barber's Chair Network. The link is in the description box. If you are listening to the audio of this, and if you are watching this on YouTube or whatever, take your phone up to the QR code, and it'll take you right to the four different tiers where you can get 25% off your first order at the Barber's Chair Network shop. We got a new shirt out right now, man. Nice 79th the Hallis, Caleb Williams, Game of Thrones inspired T-shirt. Get that. It's getting hot outside. About to get hot outside. Copy your shirt, man. So that's all we got for y'all. I don't know what Joe's schedule is like next week, but I will be doing a live stream on Wednesday to go over the schedule. So he's probably not gonna be there, but I will be there, and I will be just going over some of the games. So tap in with me on Wednesday. I'll be doing a 7th and Hallis stream going over the official schedule. So, yeah, for those of you who watch, I'm not going to hold you. And for those of you who don't watch, I'm not going to hold you. You need to tune in tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. I'm not going to hold you every Monday and Friday on Barber's Chair Network and HB Media, man. So, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. We will holler at y'all when we holler at y'all, man.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.